today a story on Daily Maverick, which makes you then wonder whether or not we're all on the same side when it comes to the climate crisis that we all face, as the planet faces. And I don't know how you would feel about large-scale drilling for oil and gas in Antarctica, but apparently, according to Daily Maverick, Russian explorers found mammoth reserves of energy, something like 100 different potential sites where drilling could happen. Environmentalists, naturally, are very, very concerned. And Tiara Walters is a journalist at Our Burning Planet for the Daily Maverick, on the line to us from Cape Town this evening. I mean, it's a holiday jolly. If you look at Antarctica, about 5,000 or 6,000 people every year of their global elite pay tens of thousands of dollars to go for a week and to see this pristine sort of wilderness area, Tiara. This is an opportunity for fuel to become more plentiful and cheaper, of course. Some would argue it's going to broaden the energy pool. Certainly the Russians seem very interested and excited about drilling for energy in Antarctica. But why does this matter so much in terms of where we are right now in the climate crisis?
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me. This is a critical topic for a number of reasons. The Russians are talking about a potential 500 billion barrels of oil equivalent buried beneath Antarctic oceans, the Southern Ocean. And it is critical because Antarctica is the world's last unmined frontier, and it's this huge icy region at the bottom of the world most people actually know nothing about. It's 14 million square kilometers. The U.S. is just 9 million square kilometers. And as we enter this super difficult time for our planet, this very rich place, which performs global nature services, is not getting the protection it needs.
Why should we care? I mean, as South Africans, we sit at the southern tip of Africa. It feels, Antarctica, for most of us, feels a billion miles away. It could be on another planet for all we know.
Yeah. So there are laws protecting Antarctica, and the Antarctic Treaty's mining ban outlaws any activity relating to mineral resources other than scientific research. And for the past 60 years, South Africa has been the only country in all of Africa with voting powers on Antarctica's future. So here in South Africa, we have a very special duty to uphold those laws, not only under international commitments, but also because Cape Town is this prized Antarctic aerial and shipping gateway that comes with its own maritime responsibilities. And yet in today's Daily Maverick investigation, we show for the first time ever that Russia has never stopped surveying the Antarctic Ocean and continent for commercially weighted oil, gas and minerals since the ban kicked into force 2 decades ago. And it is the port of Cape Town that Russia has legally used as a refueling and logistical depot for this activity.
I mean, should we be doing something about it? I mean, if it is illegal to do commercial exploration, it certainly is illegal to do commercial mining or drilling in that part of the world. Is the exploration itself illegal? Are we aiding and abetting the Russians in this process?
Okay. Bruce, we have analyzed over 20 years' worth of documents in Russian, which we could not find in English. So it's possible that all this has caught South African authorities by surprise. And it must be noted that Russian vessels for many years have used Cape Town ports to refuel on important science missions, such as actual respected climate research. So questions should be asked about offering port facilities for prospecting activities, particularly ahead of COP. And then one can ask, how can this be legal? The mining ban is supposedly very straightforward, but people struggle with interpretations because it spans 13 words, which can make it rather broad. so-called scientific research into oil and gas is allowed, thus looking at dangerous methane deposits that may escape from the seafloor during climate warming. But looking at oil and gas as an economic resource and assessing its commercial prospects, like boasting about 500 billion barrels of oil equivalent, would be considered an obvious breach of the ban.
It's astonishing, isn't it? I mean, is there any immediate threat to Antarctica as a result of what seems to be quite voracious intent on behalf of these people who are, you know, exploring the area of Antarctica?
Yeah. So this is more of a decadal long-term issue, bearing in mind that the Russians and Chinese have decadal outlooks on the world. But, you know, the world is only just waking up to climate change when it was James Hansen who stood in front of U.S. Congress in 1988 and testified about climate change. But in terms of this particular issue, the ban can be changed from 2048, and other countries other than Russia might be doing similar research. So while conditions in the Antarctic are quite extreme, one must acknowledge that, climate warming might make the resources more accessible. And then, of course, there's the 1970s energy crisis, which spawned the abandoned 1988 Antarctic Mining Pact, under which Antarctica would have likely been mined. But the pact then made way for the mining ban. And then there are other caveats, bearing in mind that we'll still need 24 million barrels of oil per day by 2050, and that's according to the International Energy Agency's most optimistic net zero scenario released earlier this year. And
TR, we must leave it there. I beg your pardon. Journalist at Our Burning Planet for the Daily Maverick. You'll find the full piece that you wrote earlier today on that website, of course. Tiara Walters joining us. The risks to Antarctica and the possibility of that area being mined and drilled despite global treaties banning it.